There are certain guiding principles, some dimensions of what I call hospitality intelligence that we need to have, we need to know, we need to bear in mind when we're giving that service. One of them we've already talked about is wonderful acknowledgement. How do you acknowledge your guest when they are walking to your facility? So, and that includes both non-verbal communication and verbal communication. So do you smile when they approach you? Do you greet when they approach you? All of these seems simple. This seems like common sense. But the question is, how often do our frontline employees do this? That's one. Acknowledgement with smile and greetings.
Welcome to another episode of Innovation Insights, where we dive deep into the minds shaping the future of industries through innovation, creativity, and groundbreaking research. We believe that innovation happens in all aspects of life. I am your host, Dr. Yolanda Sanders. Today, we are privileged to host Dr. Godwin Charles Obehide, a distinguished strategist, analyst, and expert in hospitality and tourism leadership development. Godwin Charles is a professor and the visionary leader of the Day Leadership Academy at MSU Denver's School of Hospitality. With a rich career spanning over 30 years, Godwin Charles brings a wealth of knowledge and experience in hospitality, leadership strategy, and stakeholder engagement. His research interests are broad and influential, encompassing leadership styles, destination marketing, hospitality self-service technology, complaint management, and service recovery, all underpinned by his innovative concept of hospitality intelligence. Godwin Charles was the director of the White Lodging School of Hospitality and Tourism Management at Purdue University Northwest before his current role. He has also held prestigious positions, such as president of the Central Federation Council on Hotel, Restaurant, and Institutional Education. He has contributed significantly to the field through his leadership and scholarly work. An acclaimed author and dynamic public speaker, Godwin Charles has published numerous works that have advanced our understanding of the hospitality industry. His commitment to excellence has been recognized with various international and national teaching, research, and innovation awards. Please join me in welcoming Godwin Charles to the podcast. Godwin Charles, welcome to the Innovation Insights podcast. It's wonderful to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. I'm excited.
Well, we've known each other now for like 6-7 years, maybe.
Or more.
Yeah. It's been a while now.
Yes.
I got to know you when I was department chair of a unit that had hospitality and event management. I think we met at, was it the PCMA conference?
Actually, we met first at ICRI.
Oh, yes, that's true. We did.
Then
we
from did. ICRI, PCMA.
Was it Central? It was Central CRI, wasn't it?
We met at Central CRI. We also met at the summer conference.
The summer conference, yeah.
I can't remember which one.
Yeah. Because yeah. we hosted the Central ICRI, so I can't remember if it was that first or the summer conference. Yeah, but it's been a while.
Yep.
Oh, well, thank you for being here. And, you know, you've had such a distinguished career. I remember early on in meeting you, you received some high honors from several organizations, including PCMA. It's basically the top educator for event management worldwide. Congratulations on that again, too.
Thank you.
And what started you in the area of hospitality management and event management?
Well, hospitality has always been dear to my heart. I'm very passionate about hospitality. I started with my parents' restaurant business a long time ago. And I continue when I was in college. However, I did not know I'm going to make it my career. So I was a pre-med in college. I finished my pre-medicals and I worked in the hospital. I was working in the hematology department. You know, we deal with body fluid and stuff, testing before medic treatment. And that was a turbulent year for EdCare. So, you know, a lot of challenges in the field. That period, I switched my major. I switched from medical school to food science and hospitality. And then since then, I've been in hospitality leadership. And I've had a blast. I'm blessed that I switched. It's been a wonderful journey. And I'm excited about it.
Well, the discipline has been fortunate to have you in that area. And I know leadership is your expertise. So how would you define effective leadership in the context of hospitality?
You know, you win effective leaders, depending on who you ask, you may get different answers. But the first thing is understanding the role of a leader in order for you to be able to define what effective leadership is. So a good leader must be able to influence or inspire his or her or their subordinate followers to accomplish a goal. You know, it is the main thing we need to be mindful of is influence or inspire to accomplish the goal, to accomplish the mission, without forcing them. Mm-hmm. Just inspire them. Because if you inspire them, it becomes their goal. They are excited about the same goal. You made the organization goals their goal because now they are inspired. They want to get it done. So to me, it seems simple, but yet due to different personalities, due to different challenges, due to differences in human abilities and behaviors, it becomes a big task. So to be an effective leader, they must be able to inspire their followers to accomplish a particular goal without forcing them to accomplish the goal.
And so how do leaders inspire?
Different ways. It's time talking about the hospitality industry. Do you practice what you preach? Are you hospitable to your followers? How do you see them? Do you see them looking mean at all time? Or do you smile as you expect them to smile with their guest? How do you communicate with them? Do you have effective communication skills? Because communication in hospitality is almost everything. When you are in that board meeting, you are communicating, both verbal and non-verbal communication. Our body language speaks volume. So when you start with effective communication and then you move from effective communication to building a very good relationship with your subordinate to incorporate some element of servant leadership into your leadership skills, you care about your employees, you care about your subordinate, you want the best for them, not just for the company alone. Don't become somebody who is only concerned about the profitability or profit maximization or revenue maximization of his or her or their company. You need to be concerned about the welfare of your employees. If you treat them right, they will deliver for you. If you don't treat them right, their chances of delivering is going to be by force. And remember, we talk about A good, effective leader doesn't force. You inspire.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
So if you can inspire them to get the job done, inspiration comes from effective communication. Inspiration comes from you listening, active listening to your subordinates, to your followers. Inspiration comes from you building that relationship, even up to a personal level. And then another part that some leaders do or some don't is nurturing that inspiration by letting them know you care. And you can do this by how you deal with them, how you listen, how you provide for them, how you lead by example. So this is where those inspiration comes from. A lot of it have to do with communication. Communicating what needs to be done in the appropriate way and manner. Training the trainers to do the same. Training the middle and entry-level managers to do the same. So that effective communication will move top-down. And then active listening bottom-up so that they will feel heard. They will feel that the organization cares about them.
Well, I love that you know, communication is the foundation. And I love that you mentioned nonverbal communication. And that's always something that I felt was a really good partnership with hospitality programs that have an apparel program. Because in apparel studies or fashion studies, there's a whole segment on nonverbal communication that scholars are researching and teaching. And, you know, so how is that nonverbal communication taught within hospitality programs?
That's a good question. I won't speak for many institutions, but I will speak for my institution. And I will speak for myself as a faculty. So I teach a course in career and leadership development. And in that course, I start the course with effective communication in the hospitality and tourism industry. Effective communication. And during this module of effective communication, I made it my responsibility to incorporate verbal and non-verbal communication styles.
Yeah.
And I turned these to something beyond just communication. I take it to physiology level. And what do I mean by that? You see, and this is something that many people should be very mindful of. Smile kind of stimulates physiological reaction in anyone that sees you smile. So when you smile, and people see that, immediately their eyes communicate to their brain that this person likes something about me. Mm-hmm. I am welcome.
Yeah.
Here. Yeah. And then your brain will say, continue, move closer, smile back, say hi. Your brain will tell you something to do in return.
Mm-hmm.
And that already shows some sign of welcoming, mm-hmm. which is the essence of hospitality. So then you have to compare that to you walking into an organization where the first person you see look at you frowning. In fact, stay away, just doesn't want to see you. Maybe you are coming, immediately you see them, they move their face away, they move their eyes away. Again, the brain is communicating. Their eyes is sending message to the brain, telling the brain that, what is wrong? What did you do wrong? Why is this person moving away? So these are physiological reactions that are stimulated by our nonverbal reactions. And these physiological reactions are what determine that first impression that will be stamped in our brain for good impression or bad first impression. So when I teach this course, I took it further. It's not just what we want to say or how we say it. It's giving them something that they will remember. I so often use hot kettle as a good example to a nonverbal communication. I said, how many of you have touched a hot kettle before? When you touch hot kettle, what do? Do you keep holding it or do you leave it? Then I asked them, why did you leave it? Well, because it's hot. How do you know it's hot? Many of them will stop. They don't know what to say because they know it's hot. But I tell them, it is because your fingers, your body contains synapses that transfer message to your brain to tell you that it's hot. And immediately your brain will say, drop it. That's why you don't hold that head hot kettle anymore. It's the same with nonverbal communication. When you smile, you make the people around you feel welcome. And on the other hand, we also have to be mindful of our body language. Because there are many ways we can speak that could be either too aggressive because of the way we move our body, or that we show some negative feedback or communicate the wrong information. So all of these nonverbal communication that we are very concerned about in hospitality to provide a welcoming environment.
Well, I'm going to get on my soapbox for a little bit because I really do feel that programs that have apparel and hospitality are missing an opportunity of collaborating together because everything that you said is being studied also in apparel programs. And so coming together and having those discussions and having trainings. In one of my leadership positions, we did trainings for our main office and trying to change the culture to be a little bit more welcoming. So when someone would come in, we had staff and student workers that would greet, sometimes would greet the person. And so trying to make that normalized, that you would recognize a student or a faculty or a parent that came into the main office, recognize them and say hi and smile and stand up and smile and greet them, to be positive. And so we did spend quite a bit of time, role playing and trying to work that through to, but I feel like there's just so many opportunities for scholars in both areas to discuss the nonverbal. And I think sometimes the thought is that, the fashion people are just thinking about the clothing, but we have frameworks and models that are talking about the body, the nonverbal, which includes, smiling, body movements, posture, all of those things. Yeah.
Good. I agree.
You agree? Okay. Thank you for being on the soapbox with me. And also what you're talking about too leads to service and you mentioned being a servant leader and service within hospitality management. And what is the core of service just in the world in leadership and especially hospitality?
Yes, thank you. That's a wonderful question. I've done some workshop on service before many times. And over 3 dozen of workshops, I try to enlighten people about the difference between customer service on one hand and hospitality service on the other hand. If you practice hospitality service the way it's meant to be practiced, to me, I still regard it as the epitome of service worldwide, the highest level of service worldwide. And for you to be able to provide the highest level of service, which is what hospitality is about, there are certain guiding principles, some dimensions of what I call hospitality intelligence that we need to have, we need to know, we need to bear in mind when we're giving that service. One of them we've already talked about is wonderful acknowledgement. How do you acknowledge your guest when they are walking to your facility? So, and that includes both non-verbal communication and verbal communication. So do you smile when they approach you? Do you greet when they approach you? All of these seems simple. This seems like common sense. But the question is, how often do our frontline employees do this? That's one, acknowledgement with smile and greetings. Two, enthusiasm. How enthused are we when we see people walking in? Because your level of enthusiasm could affect your body language. You know, so if you are enthused and somebody is coming in, you will already start smiling. And before they get to where you are, you're already greeting. And you are wishing them well and asking how you may help, how you may serve them. You'll be able to give them things that you can offer that they have no clue about. Because you are enthusiastic about what you're doing and you want them to get the best from your organization. Then you take that further to respecting your guest, regardless of who they are, how they look like, regardless of their nationality, regardless of their race, regardless of their gender, you respect them. Again, with that same smile, the smile is not just for the rich and wealthy or the beautiful. It's for everybody.
Thank you.
It's for everybody. So you welcome them with respect. And then you move to empathy. We need to show empathy in whatever we do. How empathetic are we? Because all of those affect our service. Imagine a guest complaining to you about his or her or their room. How do you reply? How do you respond? Do you listen actively? Do you show empathy when you listen? Do you respond with the appropriate assertiveness to show the guest that you heard him, you heard her, you heard them, and you are willing to serve them appropriately? That's a perfect example of what we call service recovery in the hospitality industry, where you can take care of your guest complaint with ease. You see, as we're talking about empathy, it's also important to think of kindness. How kind are we to our guest? You see, kindness is beyond giving money or giving food or giving charity. There are so many ways you can be kind without giving tangible things. You can give intangible things. When they come to you for directions, even though you are very busy, were you able to take time off your business and give them the best direction possible? Or you are like, oh, I'm too busy right now. Can you go and see the other person on the other end? These are part of service. And it's a brand. If we can show kindness in the minimum way possible, what kind of service are we giving in our industry? Another major one is gratitude. How often do we show gratitude? Thank you for coming to our facility today. Thank you for telling me about what is wrong with the restroom today. Thank you for telling me about the guests that need help. Thank you for asking that question. You see, you don't show gratitude because something is given to you. You show gratitude because you appreciate people. So if you appreciate, you don't only appreciate with gift. you appreciate with everything that makes your day better. So that's another area, gratitude. All of these dimensions is what it constitutes hospitality intelligence. And if you can practice them, you are going to be given the best service possible, not customer service.
I love that. And I love the concept of hospitality intelligence. And I know this is one, you know, from your work and your research and practice too. And it's just really funny because I record podcasts in batches. And over the last 4 podcasts, these themes have come up that you've mentioned: empathy, kindness, gratitude, and none of these individuals are in hospitality that I have had these discussions with. And so what that says to me is that, you know, these human aspects that you, you know, have in the hospitality intelligence concept are resonate with people from all walks of life. And so thank you for, you know, developing that and putting these into a framework that people can understand. And I'm sure you've published on this too and given talks. And so we'll try to make sure that we include that. But it's really good.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. Well, thank you for, you know, I mean, because sometimes, like you said, these are concepts that, you know, are simple. And I think when they're simple, people take them for granted and they just, you know, they're just like, okay, well, yeah, you need to be nice. You need to be kind. You need to smile. You need to be grateful. But do you say that, you know, these are concepts that really, really, you know, hang together and are part of being an intelligent hospitality professional.
Yes.
And I would even say for an intelligent person and part of the emotions, the intelligent person, member of our society, you know, to adopt. So I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
So you are also the director for the Day Leadership Academy at Metro State University.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is your role with that? How are you taking these concepts we were talking about and implementing them within this Leadership Academy?
Thank you for asking. In the Leadership Academy, here at the institution, I'm regarded as the faculty coordinator for the Day Leadership Academy. Yeah. And as the faculty coordinator, I look at all the programs this academy has to offer to professionals, to students alike, that will make their work or make their service better. So we, in one of the courses we offered, which is about quality service in hospitality. So quality service in hospitality, I incorporated hospitality intelligence into quality service in hospitality. So the professionals that have gone through this program of quality service, they understand the concept of hospitality intelligence. And I'm even here at my new institution, which is Metropolitan State University of Denver, I have actually presented something on hospitality intelligence twice. I've done workshops here on that and how some of the administrative and admission staff could utilize the skill set to enhance enrollment and to enhance communication and our relationship building among our stakeholders. So yes, through the leadership, we're doing this. We incorporate it into relevant courses and we do workshops to enhance service across different professions.
And so if anyone in our audience wanted to reach out to your office, they could reach out to you and, you know, have you, you know, come in and do a workshop or.
Oh, yes. Speak. Oh, yes.
Okay.
And it's always customized. Yeah. This workshop is customized. I was a guest lecturer for Indiana University Medical School. They incorporated, they call it hospitality in healthcare.
Love it.
Hospitality to healthcare. And I was a guest lecturer to graduate students, including medical doctors who are working on certain graduate program to enhance their healthcare. So I was part of their guest lecturer, I think, for 4 years with hospitality intelligence until I moved. So until I moved out of the state of Indiana. So it's incorporated.
Yeah.
I was also invited by an accounting office to work on hospitality intelligence to help in their consulting with their client. So it's applicable to any field. It's not limited to hospitality alone. It is, like I said, the epitome of service, the highest level of service that we all need. Everybody wants to be treated well. Everybody wants to be treated appropriately. And hospitality intelligence is one of the major ways to do that. Thank you.
I love it. Well, hopefully you'll have more people reaching out to you so that you could share this knowledge and how to apply hospitality intelligence.
Yep.
So we've talked about kind of the proactive side of, you know, you practice these concepts of hospitality intelligence, and you've touched a little bit on service recovery, but, you know, sometimes, you know, you can practice all the concepts, you can do everything, and there's still something that just goes wrong. And I know another one of your areas of expertise is service recovery. So how do you recover when it, like, you know, everything just falls apart and with someone or a customer or client or a program?
Yeah, that's a good question. Thank you for asking. And that is where some aspect of that hospitality intelligence that we talk about comes in. And the major aspect is empathy. Empathy is a key part of service recovery. That's one. Another common skills that many people have is all that is needed is effective communication. Effective communication. So in order to recover a service, let's use an example of a complaining guest who is angry, like I discussed earlier. One major aspect of effective communication is active listening. Active listening. You know, some people will tell you they are listening, but in their mind, they are thinking about the color of the clothes you are wearing, or they are thinking about the way your hair looks like, or they are looking at your shoe, or they are admiring something else that would distract them from what you are talking about. That is not effective communication. That is not active listening. So an active listener, we pay 100% attention to what the client or guest or customer is saying. And as you listen, you discern. Your goal is to understand what they are talking about. And once you understand what they are talking about, now you want to ask good questions that will tell the guest that you are actually listening. So you want to repeat some of the things they said to indicate that you are listening. But before you repeat, please do not interrupt them when they are telling you their problems or, sorry, their concerns. Do not interrupt them. Active listening, you don't interrupt. Then two, do not argue against what they are saying. Do not try to defend your organization or yourself for whatever they are complaining about. And let me repeat this part. It doesn't matter who is wrong. It doesn't matter if you are wrong, they are wrong, your colleague is wrong, the organization is wrong. No. It doesn't matter. For a service recovery, active listening. First, listen to everything they are complaining about. Do not argue. Do not defend. Show that you listen by the kind of questions you ask. And then after that, show empathy. How do you want to be treated if that were you? How do you want to be treated? Do you want them to argue with you? Do you want them to say, no, I can't do anything? I mean, how do you want to be treated? So you have to treat them the way you want to be treated. And I will tell you once again, like I've told many executives during my workshops and presentation, whatever you do, you want that guest to leave happy. You want that guest to leave happy, even if you have to incur some losses.
Absolutely.
So after you listen actively, after you show the guests you've been listening already, like I always tell some people, it's like love sign is going up in their head. Check out. Likes. He is listening to me. She is listening to me. They are listening to me. Already, you're already relieving that guest physiologically. You can't see the relief, but it's happening. And your hormones are changing.
Absolutely.
So you are changing bad hormones to good hormones. Remember, I have a scientific background, so I always use it in everything I do. So you are changing the negative hormone that is constituting cortisol. You are changing it to epinephrine, to dopamine. And this guest is becoming happier and happier because you are showing concern, you are showing empathy. And by the time you finish with him, her, or them, and you are able to provide what they need, and they live very happy, you know you have recovered that service. Because they're already upset for whatever service somebody gave, that they gave it wrong, that led to the complaint. But because you are able to listen, you are able to show them that you understand their concern, and you are able to fix the challenge, the concern, you have recovered the service. That is what it is. No need to argue. That little loss won't cost your organization. And that service recovery. And you know, the best part of service recovery, they will share with many people. They will remember for a very long time. And because of that, you will get more service. Thank you for asking.
No, thank you. Thank you. And yeah, I so appreciate you giving some examples of active listening. And another one that sometimes comes to mind too is that when you're active listening, you're not sitting there thinking, what's my response going to be? Instead of thinking about what someone says, like, oh, okay, what am I going to say? And then, you know, exactly. I realize that people do that. They jump in and they interrupt because they're like, we're so eager because they have a response that they want to give right then.
Exactly. And to me, that's defensive. I always tell people, don't be defensive. Don't argue. Just listen. Understand their concern. And if you know what you're doing, just take good care of them.
Absolutely.
If you don't know what you're doing, if you don't know how to take care of the issue, with a beautiful smile, oh, I'm so sorry that happened.
Yeah.
Let me get my boss, my supervisor, who could take care of this for you. I assure you, this will be taken care of. You know, you just have to make them feel at ease. You have to make them feel happy. You know, and that's it.
Well, and part of it too is ego. You have to just let go of your ego. Like you said,
yes.
You know, it doesn't matter who's wrong or right. You know, you need to, you know, they might be wrong as can be. But you just have to let that go. You have to let your ego go. And it might cost you some money to rectify the situation. You have to let your ego go and just say, okay, I want to recover this situation and make that the goal versus I need to prove that I'm right or my people's right. And
exactly. 100%. 100%. And you'll be amazed how often that comes in. Because they want to prove they're right. They want to prove, oh, did you read that note? It says this, it says that. Now you're just killing them. Now you're killing the guests. Now you're telling me I can't read?
Oh, yes. I've seen that in academia and with students sometimes where I've watched someone in a teaching position say to a student, well, didn't you read that? It was in the book. You know, this poor student may just be asking for clarification, not like, are you smart enough to read it in the book and digest it? You know, if they were, you know, and they probably are, but, you know, then why are you here if they just need to go to the book and read it? Another soapbox of mine, but
interesting.
Yeah, but you know, it is. Thank you for this. I think it's really helpful. And good strategies for people to think about.
Yes.
Because not everyone's going to be happy with every situation.
Exactly.
And so empathy and caring and kindness, since the pandemic, have you seen changes in how people are practicing this and then also their tolerance for practicing it? Or I mean, has the pandemic changed how we are being hospitality intelligent?
That's a very good question. Thank you for asking. And as you're asking that question, you know, I talk about active listening. So I'm here listening. Then towards the end, I'm like, which example can I use? You know, I'm thinking, active listening. Again, that's a very good question because when you look at during the pandemic, a lot happened in our industry. A lot happened, but we're in an industry that is loaded with resilience people. Hospitality is very resilient. We bounce back. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. You know, event is taking place face-to-face now more than during that period. And in fact, because of that, we have learned through resilience how to be patient with one another. So because of that, I am seeing some trend in the area of empathy and kindness that is changing.
That's good.
I cannot give a data right now, but I can see that it's changing. How? Because many people are talking about it now. You know, so many people are aware of this now, you know. And during that period, you can see all kinds of stress level going up. And many people are trying to bring it back down. And now because people are bringing it down with different presentations, workshops, and seminars, I think it's sinking. People are getting it. And I think as time goes on, that will become something that it will become a new culture in our industry, a new culture. There are already some organizations that are practicing this phenomenon very well, very well. But others will pick it up and join, and it's going to be great. So it's improving.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I do love that people are talking about it. And I feel like if I had started this podcast 5 years ago, I wouldn't have had other guests, you know, outside of hospitality that would have talked about some of these concepts in hospitality intelligence. So it is so nice that people are saying, yeah, we need to have empathy. We need to be nice. You know, I think okay, gratitude, if, you know, Oprah and the gratitude journal, I think, you know, people were talking about gratitude. yeah, it's so good to hear people talking about that and taking care of each other. Much more value of human life. Well, do you see any other trends that are happening in hospitality and in hospitality leadership?
Well, if you talk about trends, I happened to be working in a group, and in that group, we're talking about belonging. We're talking about inclusivity, inclusiveness. We're talking about inclusion. And guess what? I told them, using the same phenomenon of hospitality, I made it clear, and it sank immediately. I said, there is no belonging without hospitality. There is no inclusion without hospitality. Because with hospitality, you have to be able to welcome everybody to the table. You have to be able to listen to everybody. You have to take that diverse knowledge, diverse input. You have to take it serious with hospitality. Well, that is the nucleus of hospitality. Ability to welcome people, regardless of who they are, regardless of their gender. Your goal is to make everybody happy if you are hospitable. I always tell people, when you go to an hotel, when you go to a restaurant, when you go to an event, those are businesses. Hotel is a business. Restaurant is a business. But they are hospitality businesses because they require a high dose of hospitality intelligence. That is what placed them on the hospitality industry. Because you use hospitality skills to do those business. You still have to create budget. Budget is not hospitality. You have to do inventory. Inventory is not hospitality. Human resources has a little bit of hospitality to it. Marketing is not hospitality. But those businesses are regarded as hospitality business, hospitality industry, because you require a lot of hospitality skills to run those business. That is why there is no belonging without hospitality. There is no inclusion without hospitality. In fact, I will make it clear to you today that people are underestimating the power of hospitality. Many people in the world, they underestimate the power of hospitality. Hospitality is very powerful, which is what led me to creating that concept of hospitality intelligence. How we deal with one another, how we accept one another, how we communicate with one another, how we care, how we respect, how we show kindness and empathy. These are the key component of hospitality. So when you talk about leadership, I remember when I talk to people, I use a phrase, hospitable leader. Hospitable leader is a phrase that I will continue to develop as I go further in my quest. My gospel is hospitality intelligence, which will lead to an hospitable leader. Hospitality intelligence is not restricted to the frontline employees alone. I was a guest speaker at Colorado Hotel and Lodging Association, and I spoke about hospitality intelligence. And I was really talking to them as about hospitable leader, that how hospitable are they? You, that you want your subordinate, your frontline employees to give the best service, how hospitable are you? Because if you treat them right, they will treat their guests right. If you treat them with hospitality, they will know more, learn from you, and practice what they see you do. So hospitable leadership is coming up. And to me, that is the future. We need to be seeing all these. There's a lot of relationship between this component. Phenomenon.
I like it. And I like the term hospitable leader. That's... Yeah. Have you written that in any publications?
I have spoken about it. I've not written it. It's coming up.
Okay. Coming up. Well, we'll have you back when you have some publications out on that. But that is such a great concept, and I agree with you. And I feel like every business should be a hospitality business, because you're not going to have a business if you're not being hospitable to people.
Exactly.
Regardless of what type of business it is.
Exactly.
Oh, well, I want to get your definition of innovation.
Wow. Innovation is interesting. I have spoken about innovation before. And I hope to remain consistent with my previous definition on this particular term, innovation. So when I see innovation, I see the creation of something new. That could be innovation. Innovation could be creating a way or a product that is different from previous products we've ever seen, or creating a way of doing things that is different from any way of doing things that we've ever seen. Just bringing a new component, a new idea, either tangible or intangible, to the world. So when you create a product, when you invent something new, something that is really, really valuable, that is non-existing, that could be an innovation. Something really, really, I don't want to use that word again, innovation. I want to say innovative. Something creative that can make life a lot easier. You can do things seamlessly with it. Something that people want. We have a lot of innovation going on in the world today, but many of them are not known because it's not what people want. It's not serving anybody. So you have to ask yourself, what is the essence of those? Are those really innovative? You know? So when we are being when we talk about innovation, we want to be thinking of something created that is new, that people want, people love, that we change the way we do things, that we change our life for the better. All of those are innovation. And in hospitality, people may not know this, you know, it's hard to notice innovation in hospitality because of many intangibility characteristics of hospitality service. But we can create innovation in hospitality service, even as intangible as it is, which is what led me to the creation of hospitality intelligence in the first case. So, and this is intangible, but when you practice it, you will see how it makes people feel, and then you know you are doing something right.
I love it. You can definitely tell you've thought a lot about these concepts. You've taught them, you live them, you breathe them. I just truly appreciate you. And so thank you for being here, spending time with us. I, of course, will be bugging you again to come. Yeah. You can lose my telephone number if you want to.
Oh, I can. I love what you do. I really do. Yeah, this is great. I love it.
Oh, well, so appreciate you being here and your insights and sharing your knowledge with our guests. So thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for everything. Thank you for this podcast. It's wonderful.
Oh, thank you. It's been fun. It's been really fun. Oh. to our guests. Please continue to follow Godwin Charles' work. It is just incredible. And you can hear and see his passion into hospitality intelligence and hospitality leaders. So I challenge you to think about your leadership style and can you integrate hospitality concepts, especially hospitality intelligence concepts, into your leadership styles. Do not forget to subscribe to our podcast and look for more discussions with innovators such as Godwin Charles and creative thinkers. So as we sign off, keep innovating, keep dreaming, and keep making a difference.